would have received a little piece of paper with a scripture to read. And so you don't know when I'm going to call on you. So stay awake. I'm joking. But that is something that will help us. I believe you'll all be reading them close to the same time. And so I've got, in case you fall asleep, I have your name with that verse of scripture up here and I can wake you up. So let me start by saying this. Everyone has a rock. Now that I have your attention a little bit, what is that rock? Everyone has a rock. You know, people collect rocks. I remember as a kid collecting those little smooth ones that they would make really smooth. And that was a really neat thing to collect, especially when we came on vacation to Colorado. And went down to Colorado Springs and I had those large tubs full of those polished rocks and just running my hands in there, and I took them home and I thought I had the most valuable thing in the world. I had my rock. Years ago, when my wife and I were first married, before we had kids, there was another couple on campus there at Bob Jones, and we said, hey, let's go down to Disney World when Disney World was good, and let's go down to Disney World this next summer. And so we started making our plans. We found a place to stay. There was a place to stay in Orlando where the people would allow you to stay. All they asked for is that you bring a rock from where you lived. And as I understand it, we never made it because we found out we were expecting and we had to call it off. The other couple was upset until they found out they too were expecting. And so therefore, we didn't have the money to do it. But we were ready to bring our rock. And they were ready to bring their rock. And I was looking forward to going to the house and seeing all the rocks from all over the country. What is the rock that you have? Are you there in Deuteronomy 32:4? This is one of my favorite verses of scripture. And this is a verse I would challenge you to commit to memory. It says, he is the rock. Now, if you notice the word rock, it's capitalized. It's referring to God. His work, that is God's work, is perfect. For all his ways, that's God, are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. This is a part of the Song of Moses. Look back in chapter 31, the last verse of 31. Right before 32:1, Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended, and then chapter 32 begins, Moses' song. Somebody could probably put that to a tune. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Again, I challenge you to commit that to memory. He is the rock. Can you say that much with me? He is the rock. And then you just keep memorizing, his work is perfect. He is the rock, his work is perfect. And then, for all his ways are judgment. And then, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Those are the moral attributes of God. But it starts off with, he is the rock. So why is that significant? Well, in the ancient world, men would use a large rock as a hiding place. Think about that. They would use it as a shield from perhaps the sun, but more often from the enemy, something to hide behind, from around which they could come around and attack the enemy. They would use it as protection. Does that help you when you call God the rock? Is he one who is a hiding place? Is he one who is a shield? They use the rock because of its character. A rock is strong. A rock is reliable. A rock is enduring. You look west and you see the what kind of the mountains, by the way? The Rocky Mountains. And you see the Rocky Mountains. And men have historically looked at mountains as a place of refuge. In fact, in the end times, men are going to go to the mountains and hide in caves and call upon the rocks to fall upon them to hide them from the wrath of God, it says in the book of Revelation. So we meditate on the first four words of the verse. He is the rock. The question that needs answering this afternoon is he your rock? To personalize that, is he my rock? Would you ask that out loud in the form of a question? Is he my rock? Say that with me. Is he my rock? I want you to ask yourself that. Is God my rock? Is he one behind whom I hide? In whom I put my trust? Is he my strength? Always enduring. The Hebrew word for rock indicates that it's a massive rock, almost a mountain. What is the largest rock you have ever seen? I've been to the Rocky Mountains. I've seen boulders, huge boulders. But I've also been around a place called Stone Mountain, Georgia. How many have heard of Stone Mountain, Georgia? Stone Mountain, Georgia is, on the face of it, they've carved Confederate generals, which is one of the reasons it's one of my favorite places. Stone Mountain. Stone Mountain is almost 5 miles in circumference at its base. That's a big rock, folks. 825 feet above the surrounding area. If you've ever been to the St. Louis Arch, it is 630 feet tall. Stone Mountain is almost 200 feet taller. That is a massive rock. That is a rock you can hide behind. That is a rock that has been there for some time. A single great stone or single great rock is called a monolith. Mono means one. Lith is short for lithos, which is rock. One rock. Have you ever heard of a monolith or a large rock that is even larger than Stone Mountain, Georgia? Well, you can go and you can Google this, and you can Google monoliths. The largest monolith, that is the most, the greatest single rock, is in, I don't even know how to pronounce this, but it's in the Australian outback, Uluru. It is 1,142 feet tall, 2.2 miles long, 1.5 miles wide. Now, folks, that's a big rock. One of the tallest in the United States is El Capitan, 3,600 feet above the floor of Yosemite Valley in California. I've never seen it. Maybe you have. Close to us here is a rock called Devil's Tower. What an appropriate name. It's in northeast Wyoming. It's 867 feet tall. If you've ever seen pictures, if you've ever been there, it's just like it just pushed itself up out of the ground, which is actually what happened during the flood. It has pushed itself up, and it's got sides that it looks like like a large bear came and just scratched the sides. It's a really interesting, Juanita and I were there on our sabbatical. We walked around that mountain. It's as large as a football field up at the top. The Indians considered a very sacred place, and so you'll walk by trees and you'll see prayer cloths on the trees, which you're not supposed to remove because it's sacred to them. Think about that. The Indians look at that and they say, this is our rock. When the Bible says he is the rock, it doesn't necessarily he is your rock. That's something for you to decide. That's something for you to determine. That's why I said, ask the question, is he my rock? We know he is the rock. Above Devil's Tower, above El Capitan, above Stone Mountain, above Uluru. He's above all the rocks. In fact, he is the rock. None of those that I've mentioned is the rock. And yet our tendency, our fleshly tendency, is to put our trust in other rocks. To find shelter and protection behind other rocks. You see, what you really trust in is your rock. And you can determine what your rock is when you come into times of trouble and turmoil and trials and testing. Because what's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you think of? That's your rock. Note the question, if you're still in Deuteronomy 32, note the question in verse 37 of this same chapter. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted. You see, folks, everybody has a rock. Think about the other rocks we tend to trust in or use for our protection, especially in times of crisis. There's the rock of financial stability. Well, at least I've got my retirement set apart. At least I've got money in the bank. At least my everything's set up. You know what? If that's your rock, you're going to find out that that rock is very unstable. Some people have the rock of family relationships. You know, as a kid, one of the things that used to bother me is, you know, I'm going to lose my mom and my dad. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be an orphan. And so to a child, and this is okay as a child, you know, mom and dad, that's my rock. But moms and dads don't live forever. There's the rock of, let's admit it, government, where the government becomes the rock. And depending upon who's in office, now all of a sudden we decide who we can trust and who's really going to be the one who's going to save our nation and so forth. As you think of these other rocks, how would you describe the consistent character of each of those rocks? Are they strong? Always reliable? Consistently reliable? Enduring? And the ones I just mentioned, financial stability, government, family relationships, none of those is enduring. Oftentimes not reliable. And when we have something else or someone else as our rock, we have forsaken the rock. Just as verse 15 of this same chapter, Deuteronomy 32:15, but Jeshurun, that's another name for Israel, waxed fat. In other words, Jeshurun, Israel got very prosperous and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And then three verses later in verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Numerous times in this chapter, God is referred to as the rock. And the times when Israel was in trouble is when they forsook the rock. Folks, he is the rock. I find it interesting that most of the Old Testament passages that refer to God as a rock are written by David, a man after God's own heart. For example, David records a wonderful song of praise in both 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. Have you ever compared those two? They match almost exactly word for word. Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22. But I want to read to you 2 Samuel 22 verses 2 and 3. David says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Can you say that of God? He is my rock. Now, a number of you have verses that were passed out to you. And I'm going to ask you to stand and read those very clearly so that others can hear. And I want you to listen to these as the rock is mentioned in each one. Two of you got it where you don't have the word rock in there, but it's in there. And I'll explain that when you get to it. So, Brother Paul, Psalm 18:2, please.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Travis, Psalm 18:31. Dave, Psalm 19:14.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Now you say, I didn't hear the word rock there. Here it is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's translated strength by the King James translators. It means rock. Bruce, Psalm 28:1. Oh, wow. Brother Ed, Psalm 61, verse 2.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Oh, my. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Is that verse? I don't think that song's in our hymnal. I don't know. It's not the one I chose to close with, but wow, what a song. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 62:2, Brother Allen.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
Wow. I shall not. You know what? If that rock can't be moved and I put my trust in that rock, I can't be moved either. Psalm 62:7, Larry. Psalm 73:26, Brandy.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Wow. God is the strength of my heart. There's that word strength again. Listen, folks. God is the rock of my heart. Psalm 92:15, Susan. Okay, it's just got it turned around on this list. Sorry about that. Okay, whoever has Psalm 92:15? Okay.
To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
See, that is another description of God's moral attributes. There's no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 95:1. Now, folks, that's where we get to sing. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. You know, we're spending a lot of time just talking about the rock. Not a rock, the rock. With a capital R. And I want you to note Isaiah 26:4. Would you turn there with me, please? You say, Pastor, I don't see the word rock in this passage. You're not going to see it in this translation. But it's there. Isaiah 26. Verses 3 and 4, a passage I love to use to encourage people, especially when they're in the hospital, when they're ready to undergo surgery. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Your Bible might have a margin that tells you what everlasting strength is actually translated as. And it's translated as the rock of ages. Folks, get that. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. Go to chapter 44 of Isaiah and look at verse 8. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. You see, I don't see the word rock there. It's actually the first time God is mentioned. Is there a rock beside me, God asks. Is there a rock beside me? Folks, think about it. God is saying, is there a rock beside me? There is no God. I know not any. During the times we come into crisis, it's a good question to ask ourselves is, okay, right now, who is my rock? When you get sick, when you're in a bad way, okay, who is my rock? Because all the things that we typically trust in are so unstable. But praise God, He is faithful. He is enduring. He is our strength. He is not just the rock, He's my rock. And we all ought to be able to say that. Now, you read Deuteronomy 32, 31, and here's the last time I'm going to reference this chapter. You can read this chapter later. You'll see some references to the rock. And in 32, 31, you read this. Let's just go back to verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Even unbelievers realize their rock is not like our rock. Then why don't we? Father, thank you that you are the rock.